Welcome to Divine Intervention. This is a podcast looking at the very finest and some of the best value South African wines with me, Chio Fraser, and our food and wine guru, Michael Oliphant. Sit back, enjoy, and if you've seen what the bottle is, buy one and taste it with us. Good evening and welcome to Divine Intervention. This is a podcast where we travel through South Africa seeking out the finest wines, liqueurs, spirits, ports, sherries, anything that's got lots of booze in it. And this evening we are trying for the first time a liqueur. But before I give you details of what we're tasting, let's welcome our celebrity chef, food and wine guru, cookbook author, former restaurateur, and jolly good chap, Michael Oliphant, who's joining us from the Cape. Michael, good evening and welcome.
Hello, John. Thanks so much.
Well, lovely chatting to you yet again, Michael. This is, you know, this is almost pleasurable, isn't it?
Getting into a good habit.
We must continue for many, many months to come. And with me in the Joburg studio for the fourth and sadly the final time in this series of tastings, we welcome from Cova Advisory, accountant and expert on the green economy, Dwayne Newman. Dwayne, good evening.
Hi, John.
Thank you very much, Dwayne. You've been very, very brave and really done us a favour coming in for all these tastings. I hope you're not tiring of booze.
No, definitely not. You're educating me, which is always very useful.
Good. Well, I'm delighted, and this is one class I'll be happy to hold any night of the year. Mike's just an economist from economist.co.za, economist of the year at least twice in South Africa, one of the leading commentators, and a man who can do amazing things with figures and actually tell you the truth, unlike the government. Mike, great to chat to you.
Thank you, John, and yeah, I'm getting double the education that Dwayne is.
Excellent. Well, as I mentioned at the start, we're not trying a wine, we're not trying a port, a sherry, a bubbly, anything. We're trying something called Amarula, which I'm sure very few of you will have heard of, because it's a very obscure liqueur, isn't it, Michael? Michael.
Well, it happens to be our most widely distributed liquor brand, and Amarula, I think you can buy it in something like 103 countries. But for me, Amarula goes beyond the bottle because it is such an incredible way in which it gets there. The trees which grow in the sort of near Palabora, there are 25 little villages in the region in which these trees grow, and it's the women who go and pick the fruit during that sort of 2 month ideal ripeness period, and then the fruit they then take to collection points, and then the fruit's all taken off to the Amarula production plant.
This, Michael, if I can just interrupt, is the marula fruit.
It's the marula.
Indigenous to South Africa?
Indigenous, yeah, absolutely. And sort of sub-Saharan Africa plains trees, huge trees. And what they do is they separate the skin, obviously, and then the pips are very rich in oil, and they use those to make cosmetic products. And then the pulp of the marula berry, you can make wonderful jelly with it to eat with game, by the way. And they then use that jelly and ferment it and create a clear wine, which they then distill much in the same way as a fine brandy, double distill it, in fact, and then mature it in small oak casks for 2 years. Then they add the cream and sweeten it up a little bit and create what is, for me, this utterly delicious liqueur. I just love, love, love Amarula.
And what does it taste like?
Well, it's obviously deliciously creamy. It's got a sort of caramely fruitiness to it. It's got a nice little acidic lift, which prevents it from being just a sweet liqueur. There's some sort of butterscotchy stuff going on there too. But I think when I drink something like this, I've been there. I've seen the berries. I've cooked with the berries. So it's a far sort of greater experience for me tasting a liqueur like this.
And tell me, Dwayne, do real men drink Amarula?
Yeah, that's a bit of a loaded question, I think, John. Yeah, I think for today, I'm drinking Amarula. And I think, I mean, often I've even added it to coffee. I often had it and added it to have an Amarula coffee, and I find that sort of a great way to end an evening. What I have found surprising over the years is that you drink sort of Amarula, the cure, but you sort of never find really Marula fruit floating around in the shops as you would sort of grapes, yeah, etc., which I find quite surprising. So obviously they make a lot more money selling the Amarula liqueur than they would than anything else.
Michael, just as moving sideways on this, Dwayne raises an interesting point. If you weren't to take these Marula berries and turn them into a liqueur, what else might you do with them?
John, I mean, obviously don't have that much experience, but I do know that they make a really good jam. I've actually made a jelly from them, which you can serve like very much like red currant jelly or apple jelly, quince jelly, that kind of thing.
And Mike Schussler, again, I ask you the same question: Is this something that you might occasionally order, or is it? My view, and Michael Olivier can come in after this, is that this is very much a ladies' drink.
It is probably a bit of a ladies' drink. I think it's a bit sweet for me. That's the first thing. Having been in Switzerland, where they promoted it once, it was just amazing to see how this bottle just disappeared. I mean, they had about 80 cases or so, and at this fair, and I think it's now very much a commercial product of one of our biggest distributors, and it is the best South African selling liqueur, and I think product overall in a liquor market right through the world, other than beer. And it does very, very well. But no, I think it's got a different market to maybe my taste. And I appreciate that it's different. But it certainly, I think, it goes for a different market. I think it goes for a more younger market. I think it goes for a more feminine market. It goes for a more... people that are not going to drink wine generally are going to have this.
Michael Oliphant, your views on that?
I was just thinking while Mike was talking. I don't necessarily agree that it's a girls only drink. I think, you know, when you come down to the nuts of the whole thing, are we really a wine drinking nation? You know, so I think to say that, you know, more or less people would drink Amarula rather than. But wine, I personally love the taste. I know of many of my male friends who really enjoy drinking it. I think it's something different. You know, it's not a wine, it's not a spirit. It's something that you have at the end of a meal, or something that you have, you know, maybe with tea in the afternoon with a nice piece of fruitcake or something.
Michael, we often chat on these discussions about what you would eat with it. Obviously, one of the most simple things in the world is to get a couple of scoops of very nice ice cream and smother it in Amarula.
Absolutely. That's brilliant stuff. We often do that with a really nice vanilla ice cream. Lovely.
And pour it over Malva pudding? Would that, yep, be sacrilege?
They do that too. Absolutely.
Dwayne Newman, if you had a spare bottle lurking in the larder and you were putting together a meal and you wanted to use it up, how might you utilize your Amarula?
Yeah, I mean, I think my wife loves her ice cream and chocolate sauce, and every now and then I sort of spike it with a bit of Amarula, and she never complains. So I think it does her a world of good. But I really love it. In the end of an evening, you're having the coffee. And just a simple coffee, and you add it to the coffee, and it makes it nice and creamy. I think it's fantastic.
Mike Schussler?
I'll go with the coffee, and I think also, you know, you get things that I mix the ice cream with an ice cream type of drink, and I can definitely see that. I want to point out, you know, it's like one thinks of Jägermeister, and one thinks of Germany, one thinks of a vodka, and one thinks of Russia or Poland, or... and so on, you know, and I think this is our sort of spirity drink, other than Mampur maybe, But in that sort of sense, I think that's where one is. When one thinks of Southern Comfort, one thinks of America maybe, that's our sort of Southern Comfort, or Jägermeister, whereas Mampur is our sort of whiskey, if you wish. And yeah, that's what I would say it is. It's not necessary to go with food. It's maybe just when you get together with a friend or two and you have something like that, but I would agree with a coffee.
Dwayne? Yeah, John, I mean, I think it's fantastic. That's something that I think as South Africans we need to be proud of. It's a truly South African brand. And yeah, I think that's something I give to friends when they come over from overseas, and I think that's a great gift, makes a great gift.
And Michael Olivier, presumably this is something you can find, you mentioned all the countries it's marketed in, but if you're dining out in South Africa and you want something a little sweet but slightly alcoholic at the end of a meal, presumably most places would be able to serve this up. How would they serve it? Would they serve it on the rocks or
Certainly on the rocks or else. I mean, certainly at home, we keep a bottle in the fridge. So, you know, we serve it in probably in a wine glass, giving a generous slurp into the glass. But certainly I would be very surprised if there was anybody in the country that had a liquor license that didn't stock Amarula.
And it's just going back to the commercial aspects of it, this is a real success story, isn't it, Michael?
Absolutely.
Much as you've mentioned already.
Yeah. I mean, it was about a decade ago, maybe a little longer, and I was in Switzerland. I've seen Amarula in European shelves, and not just in specialist sort of shops. It's definitely hit inroads. You know, I don't think we've got another product that's got this sort of distribution and this sort of name recognition worldwide, including Mampur and everything like that. And if you take our beers, they haven't got that worldwide recognition either, although the company may have, as SA Breweries. Castle is just here and in the neighboring territories, whereas Amarula, I think you'll find, as Michael's pointed out, in 103 countries. And in some of those countries, you'll find it in virtually, you know, any major bottle store.
Dwayne?
Yeah, I think I'm going to start a new trend and start to make my Amarula milkshake.
What an excellent idea. Michael, before I go, there's a picture of an elephant on the bottle of Amarula we're pouring from today. And there's this myth that the fruit falls to the ground, ferments a bit, and then gets the elephants thoroughly pissed. Is that true to your knowledge, or is it just a myth?
I don't know. You know, it's become such a sort of an urban legend. But, I mean, they certainly eat the fruit, as do, you know, rhinos and warthogs and monkeys and whatever. Just getting back to that. So the social issues, you know, that the women who actually collect the berries get paid for every kilogram that they harvest. And that spreads to about 60,000 people in the sort of area where these trees grow. So it's a huge sort of do-good kind of thing, Amarula. And they've got a not-for-profit trust as well to help sustain the communities and to promote conservation. I think there's way more to think of when you're drinking a glass of Amarula.
Well, it has certainly been a pleasure. And before this tasting, I tended to turn my nose up at it a bit. I don't think that's going to happen in the future. Thank you for educating me down in the Cape, Michael Olivier. Great chatting to you again on Divine Intervention.
And John, thank you.
We'll chat again soon. And with me in the studio, we have Dwayne Newman from Cova Advisory. Dwayne, thank you very much indeed for joining us this evening. And I hope that you'll be able to spike up your wife's milkshakes and everything else for many months to come.
Thanks, John. And I think it's, yeah, as we said, we've been thoroughly educated this evening.
And finally, last, certainly not least, Mike Schussler.
Yes, it was a great and wonderful evening. And yes, it is more than educational.
From me, John Fraser, before we drain the rest of the bottle of Amarula, thanks for joining us this evening on Divine Intervention. We will be back very soon.